of Daquisha. We thank you, Lord, for making your presence known. We praise you, Lord, for everyone who came out today to hear your word. So, Lord, we ask you to touch their hearts and let them be receptive of your word. Lord, don't let them leave the way they came. Let the word transform their life. Let them have a stronger and a greater passion and desire for humanity and the love for mankind. Lord, thank you for your love that's greater than anything we can ever imagine. We just praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're doing a series. D'Angelo, is D'Angelo here? He's not. Well, my iPad does not match the screen. So we're about to roll with this again, but we're going to roll with it. So this is interesting, right? So God is just amazing in what he does. So in the Beatitudes, we're doing this series because God wants us to understand the attitude that we need to have as kingdom people. So I'm excited about going back and then going into Matthew and really the teaching of Jesus so it can kind of transform us or wake us up and enlighten us and let us know what God wants us to do. So God wants all of us to understand one thing for sure, that first of all, that you are important to him. You're so important to him that he spared your life. Now, he spared your life, and it's important to understand that he spared your life, all right? And he did it for a reason, Edis. He did it because he wants you to be a reflection of him, and he loved everybody else so much that he continued to let you live so you can bless them. And so Jesus is a great example of God really revealing himself to us. Right? And really saying, I'm going to show you really who you are and the power that you have. So God incarnated himself in a human, and now he walks around inside of people, working through them. And Jesus was the great example of that. So he wanted us to understand that and know that. So it's important for us as we go into this series and we look at it, and we look at the second part of the series. The first part, Jesus said in Matthew 5 in verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. He said, blessed are those who know they are nobody and know that they come empty and know they can't do anything apart from God. He says, those people are happy because bless me, you're happy. He said, if you want to be happy, empty yourself out. And then come to God as you are. Don't come thinking you're somebody special. Just come as you are. Broken. Beat down. Knowing that you need him. And he doesn't need you. Even though he needs you. Because without man, God will not. And without God, man cannot. So God created us in his being to be a reflection of him. So the series, the Beatitudes, is the attitude that we need to have in order for the world to know that God is alive. God wants the world to know, man, that he's real in their life. Now, God is a spirit, and he needs a body to work in. Satan is a spirit, and he needs a body to work in. The question is, who is using your body? Who are you going to loan it to? Who are you going to let use your body to be a reflection of? So Jesus, God, came down and says, listen, I'm going to give you some power, real power, some Holy Ghost power. He said, I'm going to give you something that's going to even drive the demons away. Now, That's important when we get in this beatitude, because Jesus wanted them to know something. He said, listen, you can do all things. He said, understand this now. You can do all things, right? All things, only when you in connection with God and work with him. A lot of us want to do things, but we want to do it away from God. So Jesus brings his, he got a whole crowd of people, darling, a whole lot of mother, darling, following him, but he calls a group of them together and says, listen, let's change the world. So he tells them, said, listen, here is the attitude that you have to have, and it really is not just for you. It's for the people at Kingdom Embassy and the people that's out there in the world in 2019. So he says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Now, I was just at a funeral yesterday, and it was very challenging because at a funeral, man, people are mourning. Right? I remember when my mother passed, it was a tough time for me. But the comfort was that God told us, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So I knew when I was going through what I was going through, he said he'll be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. So I was able to lean on that, and it gave me comfort and peace knowing that God was not going to leave me all alone. Now, so everybody say happy. He said, now, it don't make sense, man, for you to be happy while you're mourning. Something's wrong with that. He says, no, Jesus, listen. He said, blessed, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Confident. So here's what he says. Bingo. Blessings is not in the experience of mourning, but in what happened, what? Afterward. So the blessing is not in the mourning. Now, let's talk about this, because if we want to do God's work, we got to have a spirit of mourning. I got to feel bad for the sin that's in my life. I got to feel bad for the things that I've done wrong. If I don't have no remorse, I promise you ain't no comfort coming. If I don't have any remorse, I got to say, man, am I really who God say I am? If I can do things and I don't have no conscience, and it does not faze me, then I have to question my relationship with God. Amen. And if I got to question my relationship with God, I got to question my impact with the people God put in my sphere of influence. Because if God is not controlling me, if I don't have no remorse for the sin in my life, if I don't feel bad for what I've done, then how can I ever ask God to forgive me for something I don't think I feel bad for? I always say this. Anything you don't repent from, you're going to repeat it. Anything that you don't repent from, anything you make excuse for, you're going to repeat it. When you make excuse for it, you say, I have no intention of changing. I want to justify. Anything you justify, you'll never repent from. If I justify it, I never repent from it. Because I want to blame somebody else instead of mourning, because I know what I did was wrong. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I got to get you ready for the kingdom. So Jesus said, I'm telling you this because you got to have a mourning spirit or a grieving spirit in order to be impactful in the kingdom. Because people that don't care are dangerous. They're very, very dangerous. And God doesn't want dangerous people on his team. He wants people to have his nature, his spirit of love, his spirit of caring. So it's important. My iPad is playing all kinds of tricks. It's spinning. But work with me. We got you. I'm going to use the clicker. It might work. Right now, the blessing that comes with mourning is really the blessing of the comfort. Now watch this here. That's what a blessing. The blessing is in, I know I'm going to be what? Confident. How many people, I can only talk about myself. I mean, I did something, man, that's very damnable and crazy, Pierre. I did something really crazy. I mean, crazy. I was the principal of the middle school, and you know, I was saved, and I was sanctified, and I was Holy Ghost filled, and I was on fire, and I was the right way. I just knew I was right. So I had a Christian play on, I don't know if Denise was the secretary then, but I had a Christian, no, she was. I had a Christian play, and I had them come in during school day, and we had this play, and the play was the bomb. And I mean, it was absolutely awesome. And I mean, it went up, and I thought it was the gem. And I mean, people was talking about how good it was, and people was going to hell. And if you were this way, God delivered you. If you were this way, he threw you into the pit. And it was just, and it was scary, and it was all this kind of, and it was afterwards, and I was excited, you know, and I was pretty popular in the community, right? So I had this play, and afterwards, a firestorm hit. All hell broke loose. All hell broke loose. And what happened, man, and then, so teachers got upset. People got upset. And they went to the ACL. It was just a mess. And I'm on the news. I mean, it's all over the paper. It's going crazy. I'm going to lose my job or what? So, and I had to meet with all the teachers. Right? And I knew, and I know I love the Lord, and it was a Christian play, but God said, you didn't have no business doing that play in the school. Because you knew it wasn't right. Because you knew the law. You can't take your values and just impose them because you think you're right. Because you think you're saved. He said, you can't do it. And I was in a mess. I was in a pickle. So right away, man, I said, hey, and I was in some serious mourning. I was going crazy. My hair was it was going down, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It didn't fall all the way out, you know what I'm saying? I had a couple strains, but I was going through hell. And I'm telling you, I was in so much mourning, and watch this here. And I went in, and I never forget, man, the president of the union came in, and they said, listen, you in trouble, partner. You did something really crazy. So one of the counselors said, he says, I thought different of you. We don't know what to believe now. So I says, well, first of all, I was in front of us. I want you to understand one thing for sure. There's no doubt. And I want everybody to understand this is clear. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. All right. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be what I am today. That will not change, so you know exactly what I believe, right? Now, I shouldn't have did the play. Now, watch this here. I was mourning. I was going through it, and they was all looking at me, and they wanted to get me. But God is bad, because God wouldn't let nobody touch me, right? And they was coming, and I just said, you know what? I looked at all, I said, I'm sorry for what I've done. I shouldn't have never did it as the leader. I knew better. I said, I shouldn't have did it. I said, so I apologize. Right, and when I apologized, you know, it took the fight. Right, so it was other principals who was supposed to be my colleague was trying to go to teachers behind my back, telling them to go to the ACLU, and not one teacher or one parent, because the ACLU had to have somebody that was there. Not one child, not one parent, not one teacher would talk to the ACLU. Nobody would do that. Nobody would talk to them. Right, so God protected me through it. And then when it was all over, the teacher that was wounded the most was ended up being one of my greatest supporters, right? Now, here's the story, man. Watch when you mourn, how God comforts you. Once I asked for forgiveness and I said I was sorry, they forgave me. When I walked down the hall after that, man, a whole burden was lifted off of me. You ever been somewhere and you did something wrong and somebody tell you this, I accept your apology? Right, and you mourn like, I knew I shouldn't have did it. I wish they forgive me, and then they forgive you, and the burden is lifted, and you feel so much better. Right now, imagine when you do something wrong and you sinning, and God says, "I forgive you," and you know it. So, and that's what Jesus said. He says, "Blessed are those who have a heart like David, and say, I know I sinned, and against you and you only." Have I sinned? Lord, wash me with hyssop. Purge me, Lord. Watch. purge me. So he tells them, listen, understand how serious this is, because Jesus was trying to get them in the right attitude, because people did not repent from what they was doing. We try to gloss over it. We try to justify it and think we can slide through. It's all right if I get just a little drunk. If I get just a little high. Now, the problem with that is that God is a spirit. And Satan is a spirit. So Satan is always looking for a vehicle, man, to get in. And whenever you do anything, man, to alter the way you think and behave, then Satan got a foothold. And God know you know that it should not happen. And if you try to justify it, you won't repent from it. So he said, you got to repent from it and ask God for forgiveness and have a spirit of mourning and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Now, why is he telling us this? Why is Jesus talking to them like this? He says, because I got to change the behavior of the world. Remember, he brought a whole kingdom plan. He was trying to change the heart and mind of people all over. You can't change the world until you change the people. If you change the man, then you change the world. If you want to change your family, change you. If you want to change your job environment, change you. You got to have a spirit of repentance. And the problem we have is a lot of us tolerate a lot of stuff. And we say, you know what, it's all right, I understand. And the reason why is because we don't want to repent for what we are doing. Once we own what we are doing, then and only then can we have a true love for other people. Because if we don't repent, we live in a lie.
That's right. Amen.
And as long as you live in a lie, you can never be an impact in the kingdom. Because God said, I didn't say it. He said, I don't even dwell with liars. Watch this here. I don't even want to dwell in an unclean temple. He said, now, so whatever you're doing in your life, Jesus said, you bless if you have a spirit of mourning. If you want to, forget it all. Now, there's three things that's important. Mourning is an absolute. Everybody gonna go through it. Raise your hand if you ever been through mourning. Right? We all go through mourning, right? And it's a spiritual thing. And it's only temporary. So keep in mind, why is all that important? Because God is trying to build a dream team. And I can't build a dream. Man, listen. I was watching, I'm not an Oklahoma fan. Brother Sam, he liked Westbrook and the boys. You know, I'm a LeBron guy. You ain't got to like him, I do, right? He liked Westbrook, man. Westbrook was known for being a ball hog, right? But he's one of the best ever, right? They said, listen, Brad, they said, Westbrook, Oklahoma is starting to change because Westbrook is changing. They said, Westbrook is starting to play more like a point guard now. Watch this here. He's no longer thinking about him. He's thinking about the people around him. Amen. Once you quit thinking about you, and you start thinking about everybody God put in your path,
amen,
then you're ready to take the team to another level. The first thing you have to do is do an introspection and look in your life, man. Do you grieve for lying when you know you're lying? Do you grieve for fornication when you know you have no business doing, when you say, I can't help it? Do you grieve for being dishonest and, and running all kind of games and doing stuff to her. Do you really? I know you think they deserve it, but do I grieve when I talk crazy? Do I feel bad? Well, I'm like, hey, so what? They need to get some thick skin. Or do I feel sorry for what I've done because I represent the King? Because if I don't feel I represent Jesus and I don't represent God, I don't care what I say to you. I don't care how I treat you. I don't have no remorse. I'm not mourning over it. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. So it's easy for me to rob you. It's easy for me to cheat on your wife or your husband. It's easy for me to molest your child because I don't care nothing about you. It's easy for me to do things when Satan take over my body and I know he controlling me, because don't nobody have to tell you who's in charge. Now, you can lie to me. It's like every now and then, man, Ardina leave early. Every now and then she'd leave the house early, and then I have to make the bed. So now the difference between Ardina and I, Pierre, you know, I ain't no military guy like you, Pierre. So the difference between me and Ardina is when Ardina leaves, when she come back, the bed is made up and it look good. Martha, the bed is so nice and neat until we get ready to go to bed. She said, I cannot believe you didn't straighten that sheet up. He said, I can't believe it. She said, really? The pillowcase is halfway out the bed, and this is crazy, Arthur. Now, I know don't nobody else do that but me, Edis. I know you don't do it, Edis. But here's what happens. That's how we are with God. We put on our makeup. We put on our clothes. We look good. But underneath, I call it a bedroom salvation. Because underneath, your whole life is a mess because can't nobody see it. Because don't nobody know the way you think. But you look good, you put on a show for everybody else. The problem is, God is a spirit. And spirit works in the minds of people, and you wonder why you can't be impacted. You wonder why you're going crazy, why things are happening in your life and what's going on. Because you're looking good on the outside, but you ain't repented or have any remorse for what's going on the inside. So we live in any kind of way on the inside, but we're looking good on the outside. So it's easy to come to church and shout it out. And then get in the parking lot and cuss somebody out. I'm on the phone with a girl yesterday, and we was talking on the phone. I swear, she cussed every other word. She said, and when I go to this church, she don't go to church because she live out of town. She said, I go to church, and them blankety blank, I wish the woman would say another mother. I'm going to bring my kid to the child care. I can bring my, just because my kid have a mother problem, I can let her say something to me. Listen, I'm in the church. I ain't lying. She said, let her say something. I wish they would. I'm going there. I'm walk up in there, and they better not say a blankety blank word to me. And she meant it. No repair. I'm sitting there, I'm like, Lord, now how do you minister to that? I'm serious. I said, well, God, what do you do with that? Because they really think they saved for real. We got people like that, man. They do all kind of damnable things. Because their mind is a mess. They don't have no repentant spirit in their mind. So they keep on doing. That's why can't anybody get along with you at work? You say you can't get along. No, they can't get along with you. They hope the boss fire you. You hope they fire them. They say fire her. Right? So the problem is, and if we don't have that, how are we going to be kingdom citizens? It ain't about shouting, because I promise you, man, I can't do it now, but you put the right music on, man, I can cut a step. It may be a little slow, Braille, but I can do it. All right? Right? Thank you, man. Right? So I can do a little bit, but I can do all that, and everybody will think I'm saved. Only because I danced. Except Ardina. when I get home and I cuss her out. Then I call her out her name. Or I slap my kid upside the head, or when I slap AJ upside the head, or when I punch Anissa, or I do something crazy. I said, because I'm the daddy around here.
Right.
Then I want to know, where's Jesus? Because
yeah.
They wondering too. Because we've been telling about it. But we don't have no sense of mourning. So we don't feel bad about what we're doing. So we can't change the world. So when God says, I created you in my image and my likeness, he says, listen. And when God came and he put his spirit inside of us, he said, it's supposed to change you. So Jesus was telling them, now listen. Die to you and come alive to God. Be in poverty to you and come alive to God. Mourn when you do something wrong. Have a sense to ask God to forgive you.
Yes.
Act like you're sorry about it for real.
Amen.
Don't think because you're in charge that you're really in charge. He said, you ain't really in charge. Now what? So he, now when you go, I had this scripture right here. I love the scripture. I just had to kick it in for you, right? So watch what he said. This is good, right? And I promise you, 6 minutes, right? If my people, which I call by my name. Let's stop there for a second. Now, these are the ones who say they saved. Y'all, these are the ones in the church. I'm saved. And I'm saying, but I'm out there doing all kind of damnable things. He says, if my people who are called by my name, if you can just get your act together and realize that you're nothing, and then turn from that crazy attitude, that crazy behavior. He said, then and only then, can I really be impactful in your life?
Yeah.
He says, only then, man, can we change the world. We're not going to change nothing as long as you do what you do. You can come to church all you want. You won't have no impact nowhere. He says, turn from your, everybody say, turn from your wicked ways. Now, that's important. Now, that's important because when you mourn, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I'm going through. It's too much for me. So I got to turn to the only one that can comfort me. Only one person can bring me through it, and that's going to be Jesus. So as I go to him and I put my confidence and trust and faith in him, then I start to change from the inside out. Because I can't put on a suit and walk to church. I'm a new person. It's different now. I'm going to church tomorrow. I'm different. No, you're not different. You're just a dressed up fool. You're not different. You're only different when you change the way you think. And the beauty is, if we ought to give our testimony. Because some of us, man, were so far left. And it was God's grace because we asked God. And then when he saved us, then we thought Satan should have more of our life. So we started pity-patting with him, playing games. And we didn't really give him our life, Regina. We just gave him a portion of it. All right? So now watch this here. So everybody says spiritual. So now Paul was dealing with some issues in the church. And I wanted to bring this in. So Paul was dealing with some issues in church. And Paul was grieving for the people. So he says, I am afraid that when I come again. Now, which Paul talked to the church of Corinth? He said, I'm coming. He said, I'm worried about something when I come. He said, I'm worried. There was some crazy things going on up here. I promise you, Martha. It was some crazy. Men were sleeping with their. Let's read it for a second. All right. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have what? Sin. Keep reading. Earlier. He said, listen, because they have not repented. He said, I'm aggrieved because the reason why, because they won't what they're doing. People sleeping with their mama's husband. People doing all kind of damnable things. And the church was okaying it. Now, we don't okay it. What we do is, we don't repent from it either. And the reason I won't hold you accountable is because I got some things going on in my life. So I won't repent. I won't say nothing to you because I got a few things. You know, we all got sin. No, we need to clean this thing up. We need to clean our life up. So I won't be grieved about you. All right? Listen, I got 3 minutes. This is good. I got 3 minutes. I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through. So you're going to make it through. All right? Now, but watch this here. So he tells us this is good. Everybody say good. Everybody say morning. I got to feel bad about what's going on. Because otherwise I won't change nothing. I won't change nothing. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I won't change nothing. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? So now he's telling us, man, listen, what is he talking about? He's talking about us, about our own life. He says, and pay no attention to the plank in what? Your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? What he's saying is this. You don't have no remorse for what you do. But I want to tell somebody else to get saved. How many people say, you need to get saved. You really need Jesus. You need to get it together. Stop doing what you're doing. No, no. You stop doing what you're doing. And then when you tell them, they'll receive it out of love. But when you're doing what they're doing, and here's the thing, you think they don't know, don't you? God is a spirit. That's why when David did what he did, man, God told the prophet. Sometimes, man, you ain't got to tell nobody nothing. They can look at your eyes and tell you're lying. They just won't say nothing to you because they kind of like you. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I wish you'd just shut up and get out of my face and get her act together. Because you can see right through them. Right? So he says, when you talk about, I got 1 minute, ooh-wee, I gotta do application. Now, so as you mourn and you go to God and ask God for forgiveness and you say, I'm sorry for what I've done and everything that's going on in my life. In order for me to be powerful, not powerless, I gotta repent, have a repentant spirit, and then little old me can be big old God. God can work through me. That's why he told them, said, you'll be able to do even greater. You can't do nothing greater if you got all sin in your life and you clowning and you doing stuff, man, you know is wrong. You living in conditions and doing stuff you know is not right. You can't think you're going to have no power. You be like Terrio. You put your food in the oven and things are going to cook and realize the oven ain't on. And here's what happened when you do that. It costs you about $35, about $35 worth of hash browns. Because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You didn't check your life. I know that was good. You didn't tell you what. $35, boy. You didn't, hey, she got someone. You always talking about when she lose her phone. She got you now. So what happens when you're powerless, you can put it in the oven, but won't nothing happen. You think you're going through the motion, but ain't nothing cooking. So what do we do with this thing? Here's what John says. Promise. If we do what? Listen, I'm about to give you guys some power. Y'all going to be so powerful when y'all leave here. You're going to be like, ooh, Jesus, real. He says, if I confess my sin. Everybody say my sin. Don't nobody have to know about it but you. Little Larry. That ain't nobody business. It ain't your mama business. It's between you and the Lord. Right? If you confess your sins. He's faithful, y'all. He's faithful. Confess it. You ain't got to tell nobody. You ain't got to go. In this church, you ain't got to come to me and whisper. I ain't going to hide behind the room. Y'all can talk through the window. Go to the Lord and he'll forgive you. And then he'll purify you for all unrighteousness because he know your heart. Kim, he know your heart. Now, your girlfriend may not know your heart, but God knows your heart. He says, get back on the right path and get some power in your life. Now, what? The reason why he said it, because you got to impact other people. You can't impact them, man, without power. And you can't get no power as long as you know you're doing wrong. So everything that you think, if I think it's wrong, I better repent from it. If I thought about it, I better repent from it. That's why he said, if you think about it, it's already wrong. Jesus said, listen, I don't care what they've been telling you. If you think of it, you've already done it. So you better start repenting right then and there. And he'll forgive you, right? Everybody say, God is good. All the time. God is great. So today is the day. Everybody stand to your feet. Today is the day that we're going to really mourn for what we've done wrong. I don't want you to tell nobody. I don't want you to confess to nobody. I want you to confess to God. And listen. This is what God, he just dropped this in my spirit. Some people ain't going to make it. You're going to physically die. Because you're not going to repent. And it's going to literally kill you. Because Satan said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you think you can hurt other people and God don't get you, if you sow it, you're going to reap it. So watch this here. So if I repent, then God is faithful. Say, listen, today is the day. So if you want to make a commitment today, you want to say, I know, Lord, I'm asking you today to please forgive me for everything I've done wrong, things I've thought about. And Lord, this is between me and you. This ain't between nobody else. And I'm taking a baby step, Lord, but I'm stepping out on faith. Come to the altar. I don't want you to tell nobody at the altar what you're doing. Just come to the altar and touch and agree with somebody. Please. The altar is open for you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't do this thing. You got to have him. That's why God gave him to us as an example. He says, listen, you got to accept his way of living, his way of doing business. Today, don't let the day pass you by. Don't let the day pass you by. Some of you guys out there, you hurt, you've done some things, and God says, I don't care how bad it is. If you grieve about it and you're sorry about it, he said, I'll comfort you. Turn it over to me and let me change the hearts of other people. Please, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with open arms, with an open mind, asking you, Lord, to enter our life. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a chance today to turn our life around. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a spirit of mourning. So, Lord, we thank you. And I'm so sorry for all that I've done. Today, I'm giving my life back to you. And I want you to be the Lord of it. I just praise you for it. And we magnify you. So, Lord, as the pastor, I'm praying for each one of them. For those who are in the audience who did not come forward. Those who think it's too tough. We pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus. Satan, let him go right now. And we bind the demonic forces in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God is amazing. He loves you. I promise you, young people, he loves you. College students, he loves you. Millennials, he loves you. Senior citizens, he loves you. We got to change the world, but we got to change us first. Thank you. Lord, as we leave this place, we never want to leave your presence. Remind us. Let us hashtag this all week long. And remember, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to invite those who want to be a part of our small group training. Sign up. I'll talk more about it. All you got to do is be able to make Kool-Aid, coffee, and know how to smile and entertain. Without small groups, we're not going to make it. We need each other. God bless you. God be with you. And I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday Bible study or next Sunday. God bless you.